What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is The Joe Pomp Show. I hope everyone's having a great weekend so far. Today, we're going to be discussing why top NFL draft picks are ditching agents to negotiate their own deals. Specifically speaking, Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. aren't using NFLPA certified agents, and I want to discuss whether this is a one-off coincidence or a sign of bigger things to come and some of the structural issues that I think are building up that could potentially lead to some change. So let's get right into it. We often talk about, specifically on this podcast and other shows too, how student athletes earning money off their name, image, and likeness, NIL, has changed college sports. Now, I don't want to get into all the nuances today because we're talking about a separate topic, but some people say it's for the better and other people say it for the worse. However, that's really only part of the equation, and we don't spend nearly enough time discussing the impact that these policies can have on professional sports, too. Let's talk about Caleb Williams, for instance. Caleb Williams was drafted first overall by the Chicago Bears last week. The former Southern California quarterback will now sign a four-year deal with a fifth-year team option worth slightly less than $40 million, and the $25 million signing bonus will be wired directly into his bank account right after the ink dries. The interesting part, though, outside of the money, is that Williams isn't using an NFLPA certified agent to negotiate the deal. Instead, Williams is being advised by his dad, Carl Williams, who owns a gym in Maryland and will now be acting as his son's de facto business manager and agent. This isn't necessarily a new concept. NFL agents charge between 1% to 3% commission on deals, and many athletes have tried to save money by cutting them out of the process in the past. There's two really famous examples of this. Number one is DeAndre Hopkins, and number two is Lamar Jackson. Let's start with Hopkins. Hopkins signed a two-year, $54.5 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals in 2020. It included a full no-trade clause and made him the NFL's highest-paid non-quarterback at the time. However, since he didn't use an NFLPA-certified agent to negotiate the deal, Hopkins saved somewhere between $545,000, if we want to go to 1%, to $1.6 million, if we want to say that the agent was going to take 3% in agent fees. And Lamar Jackson did even better than him, with his mom helping him sign a $260 million contract with the Baltimore Ravens last year. That included $185 million in guaranteed money and saved him millions in agent fees. The Lamar Jackson deal was particularly interesting to me because he essentially just waited and waited and waited and saw what his value was after Jalen Hurts did his contract with the Philadelphia Eagles and then essentially just told the Baltimore Ravens, hey, just give me a little bit more money than that and we're good. And that's exactly what happened. And there's been a whole host of other athletes too. I mean, we could talk about Bobby Wagner, Richard Sherman, Russell Okung, and Edgerrin James, who have also negotiated multi-million dollar contracts without agents. Although, it's unfair to say that these guys were totally flying blind, because they typically leverage union resources for contractual review. However, the Caleb Williams situation is a little bit different. All of the guys I mentioned before had significant leverage. In most cases, they were free agents who could simply go to another team. And in all cases, they were proven commodities with their impressive play on the field, giving them leverage with NFL teams in negotiations. Caleb Williams doesn't necessarily have that leverage. He has to either A, play for the Chicago Bears, or B, sit out a year and enter the draft again in 2025. But Williams still decided to move forward without an agent, and the explanation is pretty simple. Rookie contracts in the NFL are now preset through the league CBA, meaning there is little to no room for negotiations. That's why many agents will do these deals at a discounted rate while also offering top draft picks other things. We're talking about a team of people to book travel and hotels and flights, and even $50,000 upfront cash advances to pay for pre-draft training. The truth is that an agent doesn't expect to make much money on a rookie contract anyway. Instead, they're looking to hitch their wagon to a good player and then earn a lucrative commission when that player earns himself a second NFL contract. That's also precisely why Caleb Williams isn't using an agent, though. Williams doesn't need any of these things. I'm talking about a personal assistant, upfront cash payments, or anything else, because he reportedly earned $10 million, according to The Athletic, in NIL money last year at USC. So instead of hiring an agent, Williams and his team will use the NFLPA's database of contracts to compare the league language in his deal to other former number one overall picks. Remember, the money is already preset. And then he can just pay an NFLPA certified lawyer an hourly rate rather than a commission to review the contract.
Tune in to Backstory and Beyond, hosted by Northwood Retail president and industry expert Ward Kampf. With over 30 years of experience, Kampf has a unique ability to identify game-changing businesses and forecast trends. Follow him as he chats with trailblazing leaders and disruptive founders, sharing their stories and uncovering the best practices that set them apart from their industry peers. Listen on Spotify, Apple, Google, or your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss this Northwood Retail Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Now, this strategy won't work for everyone. Most rookies aren't making eight figures in NIL money annually. And agents also provide a lot of value to non-superstar players, building relationships with general managers across the league and positioning their players for future jobs. But this wouldn't have happened without the introduction of NIL, as it provided Caleb Williams with leverage that he didn't previously have. And he's not the only one. Number four overall pick Marvin Harrison Jr. is another great example. Marvin Harrison Jr. also isn't using an NFLPA certified agent, and Arizona Cardinals fans can't even buy his jersey right now because the former Ohio State wide receiver still hasn't signed the NFLPA's group licensing deal. This also means that Marvin Harrison Jr. won't be included in other NFL products like trading cards, bobbleheads, or video games like Madden. The NFLPA's group licensing deal is actually pretty straightforward. The union negotiates licensing deals on players' behalf and then sends everyone a check at the end of the year, with backups getting $30,000 and superstars typically earning low to mid seven figures. Players are not required to sign the group licensing contract, and payments are typically a little bit small compared to what they would get on their NFL contract anyway. But virtually all of these guys do it anyways because it markets their name to a larger audience, with fans buying their jerseys, collectors snatching up their cards, and kids playing with them in video games. In fact, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the first NFL player to turn down the NFLPA's group licensing deal since LeVar Arrington did it as the second overall selection in the 2000 NFL draft. We have seen this happen in other sports, most notably with guys like Michael Jordan and Barry Bonds. But that's a completely different story, as they were both well-known superstars at the time and had a ton of leverage to negotiate their own deals. However, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s problem isn't with the NFLPA. According to Pat McAfee, who spoke to sources within Harrison Jr.'s camp earlier this week, his reluctance to sign the NFLPA's group licensing deal is because of an ongoing dispute with Fanatics specifically. McAfee says that Harrison Jr. was offered a four-year NIL card and autograph deal with Fanatics as a sophomore at Ohio State, which would have carried over into his first 2 years of his NFL career. But Harrison Jr. didn't need the money at the time. He made more than $1 million in NIL money last year, and his dad had $70 million in NFL career earnings. So he turned down the deal and now wants a better offer since his value has gone up now that he's in the NFL. This dispute has held up the entire process, as Fanatics has a trading card deal with the NFL and serves as the league's official e-commerce partner. Another interesting wrinkle is that Fanatics has intentionally designed its business to be bulletproof, as the NFL and the NFLPA own equity shares in the company, collectively worth millions. So what happens next? Well, that's a good question. It sort of depends on how Marvin Harrison Jr. wants to take this. Fanatics pays the NFL a ton of money each year for these rights, and it is highly unlikely that the NFL would set a precedent by offering Harrison Jr. a contract that's unique that not everyone else has. My guess is that he eventually ends up signing the deal. Harrison Jr. has already missed out on a substantial amount of value because his jersey was unavailable on draft night, i.e. when fans are most excited. There is also sort of a small risk in him not meeting the hype early on in Arizona, causing his star to fade after the draft in the smaller Phoenix media market. But regardless, my larger point still stands. The introduction of NIL has provided high draft picks with more leverage than ever before. Some of these players will continue to use agents and sign the standard licensing deals, while others will use this leverage to their advantage, potentially saving some money and negotiating different contracts. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.